Father, I thank you, Lord. I give you glory and honor, and I thank you because of your love, your steadfastness toward us. And thank you, Lord, for everything that you proposed for us that will surely stand. The enemy cannot derail the plans of God for our lives. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Now, we declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let it be so, even today, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, I want us to pray today. We're not just going to take the back seat and just let things happen as if, well, you know, whatever will be. No such thing. God has given us the power to create change, positive change in our lives based on the word of God. The promises of God carry, you know, that power. And we must pray. Hallelujah. Despite what God may have promised, we can't just sit back, relax, and think everything will be. The devil will always fight. And so we got to pray. And so today's message is prayers for God's counsel for your life to stand. I'm going to start here, just a few scriptures, and we want to pray. I want you to put on your prayer mantle today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to start here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, you know, and verse 21. There are a lot of things that we plan, well, you know, but, you know, God's thoughts, nevertheless, that's what will stand. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Well, it could be the devices in your own heart, you know. It could be devices in somebody's heart against you. Doesn't matter. Devices in anybody's heart. It'll be God's counsel for your life that will stand. You know, so sometimes we also plan things too, which that may not be exactly the way God wants it. You know, so it's up to us to give God the permission to interrupt our plans. That's right. Say, Lord, interrupt my plans and let your will be done, not mine. Praise God. You know, so and we learn to lean upon the Lord like that. You know, things will work out even much better for us. But whether the device is in the heart of somebody, whether it's devices in your heart, doesn't matter. The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So that's going to be one of our prayer points today. Scriptures that were going to be used for prayer. The other one is Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10. This is what the Lord declares. And let's take courage in these declarations. The Lord said, he said, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. Hallelujah. And I will do all my pleasure, saith the Lord. So his counsel for your life, his counsel for the things that pertain to you, his counsel shall stand. He has declared it. He said even from ancient times, he has declared it. You know, so no matter what you yourself are thinking, no matter what the enemy is thinking, God's counsel for your life will stand. And that's going to be our prayer today. And we'll find out why in a little bit. You know, also in the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, we see God also declares, you know, he declares that, look, the things, you know, that God has put up for us in our lives, those are the things that will stand. It won't be the devil, you know. No, it won't be the devil trying to, you know, mastermind, I mean, actually trying to derail our plans. it will be the Lord masterminding his plans, you know. So God's counsel for our life shall stand. And if you have that confidence, well, let's always walk in that confidence. Don't be afraid of what anybody will do. Whatever it is that anyone is trying, let us remember that God is the Alpha and Omega. Glory to God. When God starts something, remember, he's able to also finish it. And he never starts anything that he doesn't finish, because he already finished it even before he started it. Praise the Lord. And that's the thing about God. You know, we are trying the best that we know, you know, to do, you know, to do the things that we can do. But God doesn't need to try anything. He has the capacity to do all these things. So let me read to you the book of Psalm 33, what the Lord said. His purpose for your life, purpose for my life. You know, it's always going to stand. There's nothing, you know, that anyone can do about it. A devil will try to derail the things of God in our lives. I mean, the purpose of God in our lives. But be assured that the purpose of God for your life will stand. And we're going to, you know, we're going to do something about it this today. Psalm 33 and verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Every one of these scriptures that we have read so far has been telling us about the counsel of the Lord that will stand. Praise the Lord. Now, when God proposes something, who is strong enough to disannul it? You know, that's what I want to read to you out of the next, this next verse. If God says this, who is it that is strong enough to say the opposite? When Jesus says yes, some song we sing like that, who can say no? Praise the Lord. And when Jesus says no, who can say yes? You can try to say yes, but your yes will not stand against his no. Neither will your no stand against his yes. Now, Isaiah 14 and verse 27. For the Lord of hosts has purposed it. I mean, he has planned it, prepared his goings even before the world began. He knew what he's doing. And when he had purpose, in other words, set his mind to do something. That's what purpose means. And the Lord set his mind to do something. Who shall disannul it? That's the question. You know? And his hand that is stretched out for good upon your life. Who can turn it back? Praise the Lord. You know, so when God decided to put a blessing on you, well, you know, who can turn it back? Now, there are many stories in the Bible of people trying to turn back what God had purposed, you know, in the life of any particular person, for instance, you know, or their plans, their imaginations. I call them would-be destiny destroyers. You've heard me say that. They may have plans to try to derail what God has for you, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, what God has for you will stand. Praise the Lord. The best story of that, you know, that we have told many times, the story of Joseph. The would-be destroyers, would-be destiny destroyers among his family, you know, wanted to bump him off. They said, well, you know, here comes the dreamer of dreams. Let's kill him. Then we'll see what will be, you know, what will happen concerning his dreams then. But they couldn't do it. Even among the would-be destiny destroyers, God raised up destiny helpers. I said, well, what would you want to kill him for? He's, after all, our brother. Cast him over here, do this and this. He had a plan in his heart to come and save him, but he couldn't do it. You know, he didn't get to it initially. And then they planned some more. Well, somebody else said, well, hey, here comes a band of Ishmaelites. Well, but it's just selling. It's going to be the same thing. You know, it's go far away. Nobody will ever hear of him again. None of those dreams that he has told us will ever come to pass. Well, that's what they thought. You know, but everything they did to try to make sure Joseph's dreams did not come to pass pushed him closer to his, to the purpose of God for his life. He was destined to be great. He was destined to be a ruler. He was destined to be over his brethren. And he will be, no matter what. You know, I mean, apart from his brethren, there were even other external forces. The Bible says, you know, fightings within, fears without. I mean, there are all kinds of things. Potiphar's wife, you know, all kinds of things raised up against him, conspired against him because she tried to seduce him and he didn't fall for it. Conspired against him, lied against him, framed him. They put him in prison. You know, so, but all those would be destiny destroyers helping him along, pushing him closer to the opportunity to stand before Pharaoh. And you know the story, we told it multiple times. You know, even the butler forgot him for 2 more years. He languished again in prison. But when the right moment came, the word of the Lord found him. Glory to God. And in the moment that he stood before Pharaoh, everything changed. Woo-hoo! Because the word of the Lord and the purpose of God for his life, nobody could disannul it. Circumstances, whatever, could not disannul it. And look, there are other stories such as that, exciting stories in the Bible, of even people that did not know the purpose of God. Well, in the case of Joseph, God gave him some inklings. I mean, he was thinking because he saw these dreams, you know. But there are others that were just minding their business, and God handpicked them. Abraham was such a person. He was minding his business. Didn't even know God very much. It was called Abram at the time. He lived among heathen, the land of unbelievers. And after God destroyed Tower of Babel, in Genesis 11, he came around in Genesis 12 and handpicked Abraham. He said, those others were trying to be great, but I scattered them. But you were not trying to be anything, but I will make you great. And he thought, you know, and that was it. And, you know, Abraham wasn't planning to be great or trying any such thing, but the Lord handpicked him. That same thing was true in the life of David. He wasn't preparing to be king. He thought nothing about it. He even knew nothing about it. He was not even invited to the audition ceremony, you know, and what turned out to be a coronation ceremony. He wasn't even invited to his own coronation. Initially, he wasn't invited. You know, he was despised and rejected. Well, we have one guy left, but all he does is the sheep over there. But you are the one that sent him to the sheep. You know, the father sent him over there, you know, put his life at risk. A young man like that in the middle of the bush with all kinds of animals and so on, you know, trying to prey on the flock. David wasn't preparing to be king, but the purpose of God for his life found him, whether he was preparing for it or not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, just because you are not preparing for it doesn't mean it's not God's purpose for your life. At the right time, he will bring it to pass. And it doesn't mean it's not God's destiny either. You may not be preparing for it, but God found it, you know, and, you know, the rest of the story. Because the devil fought everything, tooth and nail, to make sure he didn't get to that throne. But he got to that throne. Hallelujah. Until today, his throne is established in the mind of God. And Jesus was set upon it. But that was the purpose and destiny of God for his life. Didn't matter anything. You know, even he himself could not stop it. When he messed up big time before God, multiple times, you know, the one that people remember the most is this Bathsheba and Uriah. But there were other things he did, like, you know, numbering Israel, which God told him never to do, and so on. God brought plagues and destroyed everything around him. But each time he would repent. See? And when he repented, you know, it was done, over. God forgot about it. And went back to the original purpose, which was never removed. Purpose of God is the sure mercies of David. I've chosen, I've found David, my servant. I've chosen him, I've anointed him with my oil. His hand shall be upon the neck of his enemies. And I will establish him. And I will establish my throne. Hallelujah. His throne forever. These were the things. Nothing could change it. Praise God. Now, what about Mary? Was Mary preparing to be the mother of Jesus? You know, I mean, sometimes even the destiny that God has for you may put your life in complete disarray. But at the end of it all, the purpose of God will be fulfilled. And you see and you understand it. Mary's life was thrown into disarray. But it was the purpose of God. But she submitted herself to it. You know, be it unto me according to thy word, she said. But after that moment, things were not easy for her. Because, you know, now everybody thought she's pregnant out of wedlock. And that she has played the whoredom. That's what they thought of her. You know, and they looked narrowly upon her. And she went in a world of sorrows. The man of sorrows that her son became, she was the first one to be a woman of sorrows. And then he inherited that from her. Because, you know, everybody thought she was, you know, a wicked woman, you know, that went a whoring and got pregnant out of wedlock. Those were serious charges in those days. And not like today, everybody thinks it's okay for you to just sleep around, do all these things. You know, now, those were serious, serious things in those days. And so, even the man that she was going to marry, you know, thought narrowly of her. But because he loved her, he said, well, you know, I mean, disgrace her publicly, I would just privately put her away. You know, and so her future was going to change. But she didn't, little did she know. As a song that said, Mary, did you know? You know, she didn't know. You know, but God picked her. And the purpose of God for which God picked her was going to stand no matter what. Well, eventually God straightened Joseph out and everybody. And they realized that, you know, this was that which was spoken of in the scriptures in Isaiah 7:14, that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth, you know, someone, he called his name Emmanuel, being interpreted as God is with us. So they figured it out, on and on and on. But here is the best part that I want us to consider today for this prayer session. Just because two things I've said already, many things, actually. I've said, well, just because you're not preparing for it or planning for it, that doesn't mean it's not God's purpose. You know, and just because the enemy is trying to fight against it doesn't mean it's not going to come to pass. It will come to pass. But here's another thing I want you to consider. Just because God promised it for you and I purpose it for you does not mean it's going to come to pass without a fight. That's the other part that I want to deal with today. God promised something, but it's going to come. But the devil is going to fight it tooth and nail with all the tools that he has. Look at Christ himself. Did not Christ know from before the world began that he would die for the sins of the world? The Bible says the Lamb was slain before the world began. He knew that already. But there was nothing that the devil did not try to dissuade him from that purpose. Even natural things, you know, try to dissuade him from it. I mean, Jesus will come into this world instead of coming as a grown man like Adam. You know, Adam was a grown man, instant son of God. You know, had the fullness of the knowledge of God upon him at once. Didn't need to learn anything. Didn't need to learn how to crawl, learn how to sit, learn how to speak, learn things. God put every instant, Son of God. Luke 3 and 38 said, Adam was the Son of God instantly. Jesus, on the other hand, despite the fact that this thing was prepared before the world began, well, he had to be born as a baby. His life was in jeopardy all the time. You know, Herod was trying to kill him. When he was about to be born, there was even no place for him to be born. He had to be born among manure and different things. Just think about it. You know, had to flee to Egypt and all of that and so many other things. Of course, all these things were happening that he might fulfill certain scriptures. But nevertheless, look at it from the perspective of a human being. Had to wait 30 years. He already knew what he came for. He could have come with guns blazing, as we say. But no, had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. Father said, it's not yet time. It's not yet time. He had to wait. Because he had to go through the process of growing up, just like us, to show the devil that they can do it. So as a man born as a baby and he grew up to be a man, he had to be a rabbi, had to be a priest, had to be a certain age in Israel to do all of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, he showed that it could be done. And even the best of his disciples, I mean, somebody like Peter, tried to discourage him, you know. You will not go to that cross. You will that be far from you, Lord. That this thing, you know, I mean, all kinds of things come up against him. That people called him Beelzebub. And they called him, you know, they said, wow. Even they disgraced him. Did you know that, you know, people thought of Samaritans, I mean, the Jews thought of the Samaritans as nobodies. So if they want to, you know, dishonor you, discredit you, disgrace you, shame you, you know, then they call you a Samaritan. That was disgrace. They called you Samaritan because Samaritans were like nobody, you know, because the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans and they could care nothing about them. They were worse than second class citizens. They didn't care for them. So when they want to disrespect you, they call you a Samaritan. They call Jesus a Samaritan. Did we not say that you are a Samaritan and you have a devil? They said all these things to Jesus. You know, everything to try to discourage him. Even himself, finally, when he realized that, my goodness, I am actually going to carry the sins of the world. And in doing that, I have to become darkness. And in him, God is no darkness at all. 1 John 1 and 5. God is light. Jesus began to realize this thing. My Father, who I have never been separated from, is going to forsake me. Because in the moment that I become sin and darkness, God will have to turn away because he can't be a part of life. And his mind began to get conflicted, even in his own mind. But the purpose of God will stand. But Jesus had learned enough during those 30 years that he was waiting to always say, nevertheless, that will be done. He was ready to go. And the Father said, no, not yet. And he said, well, okay, I'll wait some more. You know, and so forth. And every time, you know, he wanted to do, no matter what, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself but listen to the Father. One day, a man came to him to be healed. And Jesus would have just healed the man right there. Father said, no. Take him out of the city and go heal him there. And so exactly what he did. No questions asked. You know. So, you know, there are many things in which he submitted himself. But he also faced contradiction of sinners against himself, the Bible called it. Trying to discourage him from going to that cross. Even at the end, all his disciples forsook him. Yeah, he was all alone. You know, but he said in John chapter 8, verse 29, I am never alone. That's right. My Father is always with me. Why? Because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. And so he endured many things. But let's look at the story of Elijah and then we're going to pray. Elijah was a man that stood before God, said, he said, the Lord before whom I stand. So he knew the voice of God. And one day, God promised him that there was going to be rain. It's time. Go tell Ahab and so on. And so he went down, did all those drama, fire on Carmel, the drama on Carmel, going up against all those, almost 850 people that he went up against, 450 prophets of Baal, another 400 prophets of the groove. I mean, he went up against all those people and he came out victorious, And then he said, well, okay. I mean, this was the same man that said there would be no rain and there was no rain. Now he said there was going to be rain and there was no rain, coming, But the Lord had promised him, he said, well, I've seen it. I've heard it even. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He even told Ahab, get up, go and eat and drink, for the Lord will send rain today. I hear it. I've seen it in the spirit. It's coming. But did he come? No. Not at first, at least. The heavens were brass. So these were lessons that God was showing us that, look, even when God has point blank promised something and shown it to you, you cannot just sit on the sideline and just think everything will be. No. You must pray that thing to happen. Whatever it is, and God says it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen, but what's your role? Is your role to just sit down? Elijah's role was to pray that rain down, even though God already said it's coming. Sent his servant to go look. Nothing. So what did Elijah do? Did Elijah go up and eat and drink like Ahab? Of course not. He went up, put to the top of Carmel, put his head beneath his knees and agonized in prayer for the thing that God already promised, for the thing that God already showed him was coming in abundance. What you need to pray for? Well, that's what you need to pray for. Exactly what God had already promised. That's the thing that you need to pray for. God showed it to us. Jesus himself, he agonized in prayer. Luke 22:44, until blood was coming out of his head like sweat to get the pearl of gold price. He already knew he was going to get it. Told many parables about the kingdom of God is like a man that sold everything in order to get the pearl of gold price. He knew he was going to get it, but he had to pray for it. 40 days fasting, praying, all these things. He already knew he, was going to do this thing, but he had to pray for them. He had to pray and agonize and fight and, because the devil wasn't going to give up. Jesus himself told the story. In Luke 11, he said, look, when a strong man keeps his goods, everything he says, he's not going to give it up. You're going to have to come. You have to be stronger. Come against him, bind him, and then spoil his goods. The devil wasn't going to give up anything. So Jesus had to pray. Sweat was coming out of his head like blood to get you and me out of the claws of the devil. And he did it too. Glory to God. So Elijah, he prayed, sent his servant to go look. He looked, nothing. So this is the prayer that we're going to pray today. And this is the pattern we must follow. God has promised something. His purpose for your life will be established, but it doesn't look like it. It looks like it's going a million miles opposite of it. When God promised you promotion, that's when you'll be fired. When Jesus said, let's go over to the other side, that's when the storm will rise up against you and try to destroy you. But Jesus already said, you're going to the other side. But you think the storm is going to not fight that? The storm is coming to make sure you do not get to the other side. Just like Jesus said, So what are you going to do then? So that's what we're going to do today. Elijah showed it to us. James chapter 5 told us he was a man of like passion. He showed us how to do it. He prayed fervently. So you should do the same. Hallelujah. So we're going to do the same today. The thing that God has proposed in your life, that the enemy is trying to put hand against, that's his job. Let him do his job. Your job is to pray it through. Hallelujah. God may have shown you some things. And even if you don't know, we're going to pray and we're going to pray in the spirit and so on. Whatever it is that God has purposed, his purpose for your life should stand, not yours, the devices, many, there are devices in a man's heart. You know, not, don't worry about those things that you are planning and so forth. That's not what I want to pray about today. Not what you are planning. Not what I am planning. That's not what I want to pray. You know, many times we plan stuff and then we tell God to bless it. That's not the prayer we want to make today. The prayer we want to make today is, Lord, let your purpose for my life be fulfilled. Let it stand. Let not the enemy be able to defeat the purpose of God in my life. And let every counsel of Ahithophel against the purpose of my life, let it be confounded. Let it be destroyed. Let it be confused. Let it be, you know, just turned backwards. Hallelujah. Job chapter 5 verse 12 says, the Lord disappoints the devices of the wicked, and their hands will not be able to perform any of their enterprise against you. Any wicked enchantment, according to Numbers chapter 23 and verse 23, the enchantment against you will not work. The divination against you will not work. Glory to God. You know, but you will have to pray. That's right. You have to pray. No, don't pray against your enemies. That's not what we're talking about. I'm not raising prayer against any enemy today. I'm just praying that God's purpose for my life shall be done and shall be fulfilled and shall stand. However he wants to do it, that's his own business. My business is to pray. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray. And I guarantee you, I'm not going to let the devil take anything that belongs to me. Praise God. When the Lord has put you in charge of certain things, the devil may come in and take it. You know, when you are not paying attention, you know, then what are you going to do about it? Well, it's like David. What was he going to do when the lion came and took one of the little sheep from the flock? What was David going to do about it? You know, put his head, hands over his head and lament and say, ah, I've lost one of my father's sheep. What am I going to do now? Is that all he's going to do? Of course not. He's going to go after that lion and say, I want back what is mine. Glory to God. And if he has to get into a hand-to-hand combat with the lion, so be it. And he's going to come out a winner. Glory to God. Same thing when a bear took something from him that belonged to him, goes up against the bear and say, give it up. Bear rises up against it like this, pounds his chest, like 9 foot tall. Yeah. I say, well, I've seen that before when he stood it before Goliath. I've seen that before. When that bear rose up against me about the height of this man, I've seen it before. Glory to God. But is he going to back down when the devil tried to take something from him? Absolutely not. Now, some of you back down too quickly because the devil tried to take something from you. You got to go for it. Get back what is yours. And even let's not stand back and let the devil begin to do, have a field day, play ping pong with our lives and do anything. You know, what about you? What is the power of God in your mouth for? You know, why do you have the scriptures for? Why do you have faith for if you're going to let the devil just run amok in your life? No, we're not going to stand for it. Praise the Lord. So the purpose of God for your life, whatever he has purpose, that shall stand. If we can come to agreement with that in prayer to say, Lord, your purpose. Glory to God. I'll tell you another thing too, that God has purpose for you. Let me read it to you. These are all the things we're going to use in our prayers today. In the book of Isaiah 62. And there are many wonderful things that God has promised for us. But this is one thing that God has promised for you. Isaiah 62 and verse 8. He said, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. The Lord doesn't need to swear anything. Once he says it, it's done. You know, he said, the Lord commands, you know, and he stands fast. He speaks and it is done. He doesn't need to swear anything. But when he swears, I guarantee you, there's a reason for it. He said, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. What does that mean? It means that God put his hand on the, table, flexed his muscles, you know, and the devil is sitting on the other side, and there's an arm wrestling, arm wrestling contest going on. The devil and all your enemies they're trying to arm wrestle the Lord down. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this arm wrestling or done any of it. But do you think anybody, when he said his arm of his strength, and it's like that, flex his muscles, do you think any devil can arm wrestle the Lord down? Think about it. The Lord said, look, I have sworn by my right hand, glory to God, by the strength of my arm. That's what he said. Surely, glory to God. And that's surely. I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. That's right. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. Huh? But those of you who have labored and gathered it shall eat it. And you shall praise the Lord. And those of you who have brought it together shall drink of it, eating the course of my holiness, saith the Lord. And these are the things, you know, that a man should do good and eat the good of all his labor is a gift of God. What God has given you, the enemy will not put his hand in. And if the enemy is putting hand in it, then you come against him with scriptures such as this. You know, that the Lord has said, I will no more. That means at one time, the Lord allowed the devil, you know, to run amok and do all kinds of things. But the Lord said, time no longer. Enough of that already. Praise God. So that's our prayer today, ladies and gentlemen, or prayer points. We're going to go into prayers now. And I want you to pray with me and pray along. Don't sit down and think, ko sera sera. Whatever will be, will be. No. You're only going to be if it's going to be for your good. That's it. You know, you got, it's like, I've said it before on this platform. See, God may hand you a book that is a blank, I mean, has blank pages, and it puts a pen of fire in your hands and say, write. You know, what are you going to write? You can just sit back and say, well, let me see what will happen. No, you know, God already saw what's on that page, but you just didn't see it. It's blank, but God already saw. But you got to write it in order for it to appear. That's right. The Lord taught me this. He showed it to me. you know, it's in your hand. It looks like a blank page, but God can read every writing on it. But you are going to participate in that writing and put it, giving you that page, and write the next chapter of your life, starting today. See, that's what God wants. What is your response for today? Not yesterday. Yesterday is gone. Can't do anything about it, but you can pray that the Lord will give you victory today and give you wisdom out of yesterday. But you can't change yesterday. Can't do anything about it. It's gone. So God is looking to see what you are going to write, but he already knows it. Now, you're going to step up, believe God, and write some positive, great things for yourself? Well, absolutely. You know, and the Lord said, well, if you write it, I will back it up. If you speak it, I will do it. You know, so, you know, but let's not just sit down and just say, well, you know, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to fight for what we want. We're going to fight. You know, the good man of the house would have known the hour in which the thief is coming. He would have watched and not allowed his heart to be broken. Men are supposed to fight for their families. Don't let your family be broken up, you know. Fight! Glory to God. Women also are supposed to fight. You know, a wise woman will build her house, but a foolish woman will tear it down with her own hands. Well, don't be foolish. Don't tear down your own house. Fight for what you have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's fight for what God already promised. The good thing is this. We know God already promised it. See? As we have taught many times, if God didn't promise it and you are praying for it, I don't know if you're going to get it or not. But because he already promised it, see, that's the one we want to pray about today. God already has a purpose for your life. You know, some of you, even some married couples, they don't even know the purpose for their, you know, every married couple is a purpose. You know, that's the first thing that God did. Bring Adam and Eve together. And there was a purpose for them to do it together. Together. That's right. You know, they got to do it together. You know, so there is a purpose for everything under the earth. Ecclesiastes 3:10. So it's a purpose. And that purpose that God has proposed for your life, he said, it shall stand and who shall disannul it? I'm going to pray first. Then I'm going to engage the entire room in prayer, traveling prayer. Glory to God. Because we got to pray this thing through. Pray through. At first, it might, nothing may appear. Then it might be just like a little cloud, the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, fine, I'm going to pray some more. You know, and he kept praying until there was a downpour. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word of encouragement to your people today. There can be no enchantment. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 8, he said, the wind blows where it listeth. Nobody can tell until it's already gone. See, so is everyone that's born by the Spirit of God. That devil cannot divine your life. He doesn't know where you're going. He doesn't know where you're coming until you're gone. Glory to God. Everyone that's born by the Spirit of God is like the wind. Can you catch the wind in your hand? Can't do it. Praise the Lord. So the purpose of God for your life will stand. The devil can't catch it. Devil can't stop it. Devil can't do anything about it. But we are going to walk with God. Make sure that that is the case. We're not going to just sit down and let the devil do run rampant and do anything. Father, I thank you. We are ready today. Your children are ready. My people shall be willing in the day of my power. They are ready today to take their post and push back. Jesus said in the word of God that we must pray. We enter not in temptation. Peter said by the Holy Spirit, you know, say, resist the devil. Glory to God. You know, and flee from you. Father, we come today resisting the devil. And we come today to pray that the purpose of God for our life will stand. Everything that has stood against the purpose of God in our life, we come against it today in the name of Jesus. Now, for you that are in this room today, I'm going to pray for you first. Glory to God. You know, every one of you that's in this room today, that are here listening to this, I pray that the purpose of God for your life will be established. The devil cannot disannul it. The devil cannot foul it up. You know, that's what the devil does. He has no originality in himself. He waits for God to do something and then try to mess it up. You know, but God knows how to mastermind him. I pray for wisdom and discernment that will you be able to see. Say the prudent man foreseeth the evil, all the things that the enemy is planning. Glory to God. And hided himself from it. The Bible also says that, you know, any trap that is set in the plain sight of a bird is in vain. But the bird has seen what you are doing. The eye of the eagle has seen it. Praise the Lord. And every trap that the enemy is trying to set for you, glory to God, it is in vain because the Lord has seen it. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord has seen it. Glory to God. I pray, Lord, the enemy shall not exact upon your people. The son of unrighteousness shall not afflict them. The hand of the enemy will not be able to disannul the good hand of the Lord in your life. The purpose of God for your life shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure, saith the Lord. Well, what is your pleasure? It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom, Jesus said. Fear not. And again, he said, look, that the thoughts towards us are for peace, are for good, and not for evil. These are all his pleasure. These are all the good things. It's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Glory to God. So, Father, we take that pleasure. We rejoice in it. And we stand on our guard and we stand in our post and we say no to the devil. You cannot have my purpose. You cannot these are not the purpose of God in my life. Glory to God. You cannot have my family. You cannot have my children. You cannot have my wife. You cannot have my husband. You cannot have my job. You know, well, you know, maybe your job, the devil could put hand in it, but your work, you see, your work. Jesus said, my work is to do the meat of him. I mean, the will of him, my meat. To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 4:34. And so, Father, we pray today as we engage in this moment of prayer. Let your people stand up and fight the good fight. Glory to God. And go after the devil that may have taken anything from them and take it back in the name of the Lord. And make, we form a guard around our, a defense around us. Say, the Lord is a shield, is a sun around us, people, his people, and he will compass them about with a shield, you know, with favor as with a shield. I pray the mantle of prayer be upon your children. And as we declare these things today, our Bible says that the Lord will watch over the world. Say, as you have declared in my eyes, ears, Numbers 14 and 28, even so will I do unto you. So, Father, we thank you for the upcoming moments of prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that these words that your people will declare today shall be established. That you indeed have started a good work in their lives. Whatever it is, it will be fulfilled. And I prophesy to everyone that is in this room today, in the name of the Lord, your hands have started the good thing that God put in your life. The devil put a hand to spoil it. No, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Your hands have started that good thing that the Lord put in your hand. Your hands will also finish it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. The purpose of God for our lives, which he purposed from the beginning, you know, that we might be in his image and his likeness, to be conformed to the image of his son, and that we will be called, that we will be justified, that we will be glorified, and it coming for us after he has prepared a place for us, all that purpose cannot be dishonored to come to pass in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.